Welcome to the Merchant Princelings Podcast.
Welcome to episode 54 of the Merchant Princelings Podcast.
54th of her name, long may she reign.
Long may she reign. And long may she continue to not have like 5 week gaps between episodes.
Correct. But we have all been super busy with
Fuck real life, boys. We're back now, and that's what fucking matters.
It's all gone.
No. We're on that, just so everyone's on the same page while they're listening to this, we're on a positivity bender. All right,
I'm drunk on positivity.
If you're grumpy, just understand, we're probably grumpy about the same things, boys, but let's just move on, because at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter. Because at the end of the day...
We all love toy soldiers,
we all love Heresy, and I'm reading a piece of fluff right here where I was before we started recording about Ortek Moore's assault on Bot.
And baby!
I'm in, boys. All right? I'm fucking in.
Go for it.
You all sounded like a machine gun's in the background, though, Will. That's pretty strange.
It's the only way. You have to be in or you're out. And then you're a scrub and a nerd.
Yeah. Good. I'm going to leave that there.
Sweet. Let's go.
To continue this hype and this energy and this positivity, what we're going to do is we'll talk about a little bit about what we've been up to recently. Actually, quite a lot to talk about from all three of us, which is pretty good.
That's what happens when you leave at 5 weeks and we're productive little boys.
Correct. Yes. So there's that. We're going to talk a little bit about some games that we attended to at Giles' house several weeks ago now that we tried to record.
Several weeks ago. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, quite a while ago now. We got a little bit way into the recording and then I got called out to work, which was really unfortunate, and the episode sort of corrupted itself. So we'll go back on that.
But
the games aren't very fresh in our minds anymore, but you know, there's worth mentioning a few pieces on there. We're going to talk some new rules.
New rules?
We're going to talk Dark Mechanicum. We're going to talk Plastic Lancer.
Hiya.
We're going to talk new Sons of Horus upgrade sprue that went live today.
That little slut.
And then we're going to talk about some events we've got upcoming, and
that'll probably
take us till sleepy bedtimes.
In about 17 minutes. Perfect.
Perfect.
Ride it out.
Well, I can't, at the moment, we've got such a problem with the plumbing that we've had to isolate the kitchen sink, which only I can do because it's on like a flathead screwdriver lever valve, check valve, so no one else can do it. So I've isolated the sink. I'm now here, which means no one else can run a cup of tea or run the kettle.
They don't deserve it. So
exactly. So let's go straight into what we've been doing in the last couple of weeks. And I'm gonna, just while I'm thinking about it, I'm gonna go first. I don't often do that. But I'm gonna go first just because I've only just put it down, and it's got me really hyped, and I'm still hyped, and I'm thinking about doing it even now, which is Progress on the Blood Angels, which I'm so super psyched about. I can't, you know, even remember the last time that we recorded that actually went out as an episode, but I'm sure at that point I'd probably just finish those 10 Tactical Marines, which was still pretty good progress for me. I was pretty happy with them. I was really happy with the red.
Great.
You should be.
And then thanks, boys. And as I sort of did say on that corrupted episode, I took some of those Marines to Giles's so that they could be seen by my two big confidants, but also Medwell.
Trifecta. Fucking Heresy painting boys.
Correct, right? You had Rob Medwell, Cy Davis, and Ollie Mew in the same room together playing Heresy.
Oh my god. What the hell?
It was fucking unbelievable, right? But all three of them took up my Blood Angels, and you know, they all say something sarcastic. Rob says, "Yeah, these are good," but and then Ollie says, "These are much better than the photos." You know,
Where's the magenta atomized filter 4720 wash?
Correct, that you've done 8,000 times, and then Cy goes, "Hey, they're all right, isn't they?"
What are they supposed to be, Tom? Are these Blood Angels?
You're doing Blood Angels now, lad. You're doing Blood Angels.
Poor Sai, he's taking an absolute pounding here.
Obviously Sai, because he's northern, but, and we can't do accents, Sai is just everything north of the Watford Gap, including Welsh.
Correct.
Yeah, so that was good. At times a bit Brummy there as well, yeah, which Sai is definitely not. I think
it's north of the Watford.
It's north of there, but I think he probably will be offended.
Yeah,
so,
but that's
sorry,
Sai. It's only Sai.
Sai, Stan. Maybe if he fucking ran Spartanax, then we wouldn't have a go.
It's happening. So, it's going to happen. I'm going to bully him into it. He's going to run. He's going to run. Basically, what is a heresy event plus the Krypton factor?
Oh my god! Can you imagine?
You've got to do the heresy event, but you've got to avoid all the natural disasters and industrial calamities that are due to happen any second in that venue.
Correct, yeah. And if anyone brings their tools, they're probably going to end up having to fix something.
Correct.
So, traveling lights.
So, I took those tactical marines to Giles' house. Obviously, we'll go on to that in a bit more, but very positive feedback, which is good. And that really helped sort of buoy me up to go home and paint more.
Because they looked sick as fuck.
Thanks,
yeah.
Man. I tried to paint a Predator, wasn't very happy with it, so ended up repriming it and trying again. And as probably a lot of people who listen to this podcast have seen, because I post it 1,000 times, because I need to have validation that my work isn't shit at every living step. So I've posted it 1,000 times, but most people probably who listen to this have probably seen the Predator that I've done already. Really happy with it, really happy with the scheme. A lot of credit goes to John Askham for sitting down with me for like a good 20 minutes of solid, and that doesn't sound very long, but that is when you're just talking about a paint scheme. And a good
And Askham's a busy boy. He's got much ting on. So for him to give you that 20 minutes, hero, absolute hero.
Well, we had a one day where we had a real good heart to heart about just out of life, you know, life like out of heresy stuff, which was really good, really cathartic, really needed that to come down for some wedding stress. And then we had like a talk about the Blood Angels, and we looked at some artworks, and we looked at some like split schemes that Games Workshop do quite a lot with Sons of Horus at the moment. We looked at Black Book art, old Black Book art, the new art, and things like that.
Came up with scheme. Good. Dreamy.
It was really good. Really enjoyed it. And came up with my scheme. And I enjoyed painting every single stage of it. Loved it. Ollie helped me quite a lot with the weathering, you know, underline the scratches. And, you know, he was like, do it in Troll Slayer Orange. And I was like, Troll Slayer Orange on deep red. You're off your fucking tits. But...
It's the one, isn't it?
And so many times I've picked the tank up and thought, oh, a bit of the paint is flaking away, and I've gone disappointed, and then gone to do it with my thumb and realised it's just where I've painted like a semi-realistic chip on it.
A thumbprint.
That's a good sign, to be fair, that it's come out well.
Yeah.
When just by the fact you've painted it, you're trying to wipe your own damage off.
Correct. Yeah. 100, and I've done that more than 3 times. Yeah. So I've really enjoyed that. I've only recently just got it done, but that has prompted the industries, the fires of industry to be stoked. So I've got 10 Mark VI that are built with no arms, as they're going to be waiting some despoiler arms, which is pretty good. And I've got 5 Dawnbreakers built now and attached.
Oh yeah, boy.
All they needed was a little bendy bend on the spear, but they are fantastic models. Obviously, you don't really, you know, when you look at someone's painted model, I don't really look at the model. I look at the paint scheme more often than not.
I've never really realized
the models, and the Dawnbreakers are some of the best Space Marine infantry ever.
Interesting.
So I'm really hyped for them. And then I got, you know, the old plastic GW jump pack Blood Angels Chaplain, the classic one. So he is sporting he's sporting a few 40k icons, which I know some people will, you know, tell me to carve off or whatever, but bun that because I can't
you're not allowed, babe. Yeah, fuck off.
I don't care. I'm putting it on because it's just a sick model. I was only going to use his backpack. I bought the whole model just to use his backpack, but actually, I think I'll just use the whole model.
Well, he failed to cross the Rubicon, so he's a fucking absolute hero, isn't he?
So that's really good. So I've got them, and the tastiest morsel is the Cerberus.
I love the amount of Cerberus hype around the internet right now.
Yeah. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Reset the clock. Hit me with this Cerberus tech. I need to hear it. What's going on?
With the tech.
Yeah, so I got myself a plastic Cerberus.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
No. And built it yesterday.
Yeah, tell me more.
It is phenomenal. Like, and it's also, apart from, so I think the Primarchs that I've owned over the years have been my only Lords of War I've ever owned for Marines. I've owned Knights for my Mechanicum, but I've never owned a tank Lord of War.
Wow.
Ever. Because I just go through armies too fast, you know, especially when they're a resin and they're 200 quid or whatever, you know, fuck that.
Yeah, and you have to remortgage the house for the 17th time.
Correct, yeah. But now that, you know, I went into a local store with two lads that I work with who are like balls deep in collectible trading card games at the moment. And they went head over biscuit for some trading cards. And I picked myself up a little Chaos Black to carry on my Necromunda, because obviously we're doing Necromunda as well, which we're really hyped for. Which has been really awesome. But yeah, there was a little Cerberus on the shelf, and that came back with me.
You just couldn't resist, could you?
I didn't realise how big those barrels were. Like, they're the ones straight off, like a Porphyron almost.
Absolute whoppers.
Yeah, they are.
Was it just like calling your name? Like, you know when Frodo puts on the ring?
It was a little bit like that, and it was a little bit like. There was there was a Cerberus, a Typhon, a Scorpius, which I need for my list. And as Giles will attest, because I actually messaged him during the day, I only went there to get a Scorpius.
Oh, wow.
And then there were some other bits, like some upgrade kits and stuff. And I said to myself, I might get the Typhon. Because Ollie's going on and on and on about how good the Typhon is. Like, nah.
Never shuts up, does it?
It's better than they think. People will be scared of it. Mine never failed to fucking fire every, you know, four turns a game, blah, 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 blah. So good.
Got 16 times at Warhammer World. Yeah.
It's great for killing out Myrmidons. It's great for killing out Ursarax and all the rest of it. Like, you definitely need it. It's great for the odd, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, yeah, but everyone's running a Typhon now. I'm going to be that prick. I'm going to take the worst tank. I'm going to be that special snowflake who takes the worst tank. So I got the Cerberus, having never looked at its rules. And having now looked at its rules, I really love it. It's not in my 3K list that I've, you know, that I planned several months ago and have set to. But obviously, for the sake of getting games faster, it's going to have to go in the list. For a while.
Of course. Are you saying this to me sounds like the Volkite Kratos all over again?
Yeah.
You were the pioneer. I'm not going to lie. You were the first.
Everyone said I was mad.
It's fucking shit. You're off your head. And look at the community now. There's about 1,000 of them in the wild.
When I turned up to that
greeting, just chewing people left, right, and centre.
It was funny when I took, because everyone was, I was like, the Volkite Kratos is good. And then I took the Melter Kratos, I think, with the Laz Cannon shoulders, and it did better but was less cool.
100%.
You know, and then I took some Volkite Preds and everyone was like, they're really shit, and I was like, yeah, I know. And then Pete went and bought like four of them the other week and was like, they're shit, and we were all like, yeah, we know.
Deal with it, scrub.
We told you they were terrible. So that has been primed, and the pre-highlight has already been applied to the old Cerberus.
You've bought this, built this, primed it, and zenithaled it in space of what, like 4 hours?
2 days, yeah, 2 days.
Oh mate, I've been off the WhatsApps way too much recently. I'm missing out.
You're missing out on the Cerberus chat.
Yeah, I'm slacking.
So, and obviously on the side of that for 40k, like I didn't get on with Gene Cidacult, so they've gone out the door. About to go out the door. Yeah, they need to go up for sale and go out the door. But I have been getting really into Chaos Knights, which obviously I can then take in 30k as well, as like a palate cleanser, you know. So I've tried to keep my knights in roughly a Heresy scheme. So I've painted them in a Heresy style. I've used the pre-Heresy World Eaters scheme, white and blue. And I've got two plastic war dogs on a deal from Bioswap and Cell, which have turned up. I've built both of them, painted one, finished it. I need to base it, but you know, the model's finished. In that white and blue, that's really good. The blue is a really, really good World Eaters blue. I'm really excited about that blue. Who's that scraping?
Sorry, you know how I said I wasn't going to do any hobby. Well, that went out the window after about 5 seconds.
Are you taking mold lines off?
Just too much.
Yeah, these Mark IVs are just the worst.
I was thinking I can hear it, but it's fine. It'll probably be okay. Then I thought about like Askham listening to it in the car and just having his brain slowly melted.
It's true. It would. So I better stop because Askham is.
Just do it in your. Just do it in your lap, like.
What I'll do is I'll just mute it.
Oh yeah, that.
It's like this, and then bash. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Bash. Bash. Right. So what was I even saying? So yeah, the blue is a recipe from Pete the Wargamer, like the YouTuber channel guy, who was painting pre-Heresy World Eaters. At the time of the launch box, I think, and the blue is literally just pre-highlighted black and then pro acryl blue, job done. And I thought, no, I'm not going to bother around with that. But going into Galleon, my local shop, when I bought the Cerberus, they've got pro acryl paints in there. So got a pro acryl paint, was only a couple of quid, sprayed it on, looked great, put some Drakenhof in the shade, and then put some Lothan blue, very, very light. I probably wouldn't do it again because it didn't show up very well, and I didn't want to ruin the blue, but yeah, just some Drakenhof on the in the recesses, and yeah, looks great. Rusted that up, looks great. Can't wait to use that in 30k and 40k. Nice little double whammy army. So
it does look fucking sick, to be fair, Tom.
Thanks,
you've done a great
mate.
Job.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm picking the A Big Knight and two more War Dogs off of Ben from Heresy on the Hill.
Oh, powerful.
Which probably, I mean, he'll probably listen to this when it launches, but it's probably now going to be have to do after my wedding because there's just so many gas things I've committed to before I go off on holiday. So
Gas.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I'm literally, as I'm talking, I'm being hassled on a group chat about something to do with gas as well. Pain in the ass.
Gas stole you last time.
It's not sitting tonight. This is planning it in for tomorrow afternoon.
We can potentially allow that.
Yeah, we allow that.
I could take gas in a fight, no doubt.
Yeah. Just don't breathe.
Exactly.
Don't breathe. Yeah.
I develop a breathing apparatus similar to the breathing apparatus that Will Ferrell suggested tuna fish could create when they take on the animals of the jungle in The Other Guys. It's me and the tuna fish, and we're going to scrap gas in possibly the biggest fight of this century.
I'm excited to see that happen, and I think we should. Yeah. I think that's finally where we go down the route of Patreon.
I was going to say that's got to be on some kind of pay per view, isn't it?
Yeah. The reason we can't do Patreon is because we leave 5 week gaps between episodes. Yeah. That's the problem.
And we don't like then having to stress about said 5 week gaps.
No, I don't ever want to stress. No.
And we can
never.
I don't need that.
No.
Anyway,
so that's me done. That's my hobby.
Been a busy boy.
Real busy in life. Wedding is in 6 days. It's been stressful, but we're through the other side of it now. Now we just get to enjoy it all.
And that Wednesday next week, yeah.
Wednesday next week, boys. Yeah, looking forward to seeing you if you can still make it down.
Of course.
Of course, I'll be on Wednesday, but it's fine. Yeah, I'll do it. 100%. Of course, I'll be there. Yeah.
Good lad. Oh, I think Ollie's coming down. I think Gem has made him come down for the week.
Oh, delicious.
Because she loves Eastbourne and Hailsham. So I think.
Oh, yeah, she does. She loves the Wetherspoons in the town centre, I think she was saying.
So I think Ollie's. But like, I was like, we're going to Eastbourne for a wedding. And she's going, yeah, we're going there for a fucking week, son. So yeah, looking forward to that. But I'm also looking forward to, in sort of like, you know, less than my wedding, obviously. But the other part of it is after the wedding, I can look at just being like, right, Blood Angels, let's just get this cracked out so I can get this up and running, get some games being played, you know. I've got my assault marines as well. 15 assault marines ready to go. They just need to be finished building and get painted. I've sprayed one the red and it looks great, so now it's just get all of them done to that standard and get it going, you know.
Perfect.
I'm really excited. Will, as your scrapey boy, why don't you tell us what you're scraping and what you've been scraping for the last few weeks?
Right, so I, similar to you boys, I had a bit of a fucking block. I had a bit of a hobby block. We might have talked about this. We probably did. I can't remember anymore. Life goes on. But anyway, I was done. I was out. I was like, see you later. I'm going to sell all my iron hands. I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to get out the game. Complete it, mate. You know what I mean? And then I had to do what all rational human being has to do. I had to grow a pair, speak to the numero uno hype man, ask him himself. Because he is a bit of my... I get down about heresy. I'll just ask him something about heresy, and he immediately hyped me straight back up. So he hyped me back up without even knowing that he was hyping me up. And I woke up in the morning. I rolled over at 5:30, and I was like, I'm gonna fucking do it. I'm just gonna do it. I'm gonna do it. So I've just systematically plodded out and boshed out these Raven Guard. The point now. You know, I had a bit of a disaster on the weekend with a faulty can of Munitorum Varnish, which, maybe I didn't shake it for 2 minutes, but I think it was just a faulty product. But anyway, I binned that off. I yeeted it over the fucking security fence of HS2, hopefully hit truck, don't know if I did, and then used another can, and then I used your little trick about glossing over the hazy stuff. And then reapplying it, and they come out perfect. So all I've got to do on them now, which is 65 models, maximum respects to anyone that does commission work, because painting more or less a whole army in one sitting is maybe the worst thing in the world.
It's a big ask.
Yeah, but all infantry as well, and all black infantry as well, the worst, yeah. But all I've got to do now is the fun stuff, oil, weathering, and bases. So that's been perfect. And then in between that, what I found was if I just do, I think the thing that I was really scared of was doing all the little bits. So like the pouches, the grenades, the feathers, the skulls, the blah, 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 blah. All the bullshit stuff that actually takes a long time. If you just do it on 65 models at once, it's not actually that bad. I did all of them.
Where's the logic behind that? This is the shit bit. If I do it 65 times, it becomes not shit.
Literally did about 100.
Your job, son.
Literally did about 150 lenses, which is crazy. Which, if you can do basic math, that means I've done 20 more lenses than I should have done. Because some of these Raven guys have got three eyes. They got three lenses because they got improvisers. So anyway, they're all ready to go. I'm treating myself this weekend to just a sesh, which is going to be great. And in the meantime, I've just been building Emperor's Children, because I've been getting super, super hyped for Emperor's Children. Shout out to Dom, who's also hyped as fuck for them. And shout out to Jason from Lost Legions, who's also hyped as fuck for them. Shout out to Fuller, because he's doing Loyalist World Eaters. And to Ollie, because I was trying to convince him to do Loyalist Lunar Wolves, but he's wants to play traitor. Old he is, if we do his fan 3. Ask him as well. He's going to hopefully join in with traitor Sons of Horus. We just need a few more in the gang, and then we can do his fan 3, which will be sick. But yeah, I've just been building Emperor's Children relentlessly. Relentlessly, like 5-10 a day, because the Resin Mark IV kits, like, I don't know how Forge World ever let these get past, like, quality control, because every single set of legs is... it's just terribly cast. Like, not even minorly cast. Not even slightly. Like, absolutely terribly. So, scraping them off, tidying them out, building Palatines, building Terminators, building Induct Drive, building Vets. It's been brilliant. I've been loving it. And then in the meantime, I've had a couple of little saucy... had a few games here and there. So last Thursday... is it last Thursday? Yeah, last Thursday. Took the day off work. Went and played Heresy with Ollie and Stevie T at Stevie T's house for the day, which was another absolute maximum high pitch for Heresy. Seeing Steve's Blood Angel, seeing Ollie's World Eaters, which I haven't seen in a while, seeing Ollie's Sarastus Knight as well, which I haven't seen in long time.
Yeah, that's a great, great model.
Jeez! Yeah. And played like a whole new list, so... tried loads of new things, like tried triple Xiphon, and it was... why are you laughing? Why are you laughing?
Tried it once, never again.
It was terrible. It was... granted, Ollie just trolled the fuck out of me. He was like, oh, I'm going to intercept with my dual fist contemptor. double six. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. I'll just return fire. I can't hit you again. Returns fire, hits it, blows out the sky. Jesus Christ. Oh my God. So bad. It's just like the worst thing ever. Yeah. Tried the iron hands in a duck die, which were off the fucking hook. That whole being weapon skill 5, ballistic skill 5 thing is stupidly good. They were really, really good. Spoilers were 3.6 Roken, not great, not terrible, but I was playing World Ears, so kind of makes sense. Immortal. The Gorgon bomb was really fun to play, so I had 10 Gorgons with a Warmonger, a Herald, and an Iron Flava. Deep Strike in. They were pretty fun. Like 1,000 points.
Nice.
Mediocrity, which is perfect. But yeah, just played games all day, had a great time, chatted loads of heresy, had food. Steve and his wife put on the greatest spread as usual, chatted heresy. It's just been up there with the, like, being really low to being really high and still being really high. And, like, got bolt action to paint that I'm excited to, because I'm really excited to get to do something that's not power armor. I've got these Emperor's Children to do once I finish the bolt action. I've got an event in like 2 weeks time. I'm going down to Cardiff for the Lost Legions event, and there's like a good gang of us going. I'm just living the dream. I'm just in a really good place, and I've done a lot of, yeah, I'm good. I'm wizard, some might say.
That sounded like a lot to process.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Lucius and Saul would be so proud. They'd be like, "Oh, hey, Will, I'm so proud." Oh.
They would, to be
fair. I had a very brief chat earlier today with Dom about Emperor's Children. He was saying that you're both smashing out as many as possible before he goes home.
And
I coined the phrase "road to perfection," and I feel like that has summed up, that enormous scoop of building you've been up to.
It's been great because it is just perfection. Like, well, every
great
time.
Build to perfection. Yeah. I said to Dom. Anyway, we move.
But then I've got Ollie. Ollie's gonna teach me. Yes, Sensei. He's gonna teach me the ways of his Emperor's Children.
They're a technical masterpiece, aren't they? They're off the fucking chain. The closer you look at them, the more you think, "What the fuck's going on here? This is insane."
Yeah. And that's gonna be like another 80 infantry or 65 infantry or whatever it is. So it's gonna be another insane project.
I mean, I'd suggest not doing it all in one weekend.
Yeah. And not in one batch.
I think I've caught the bug. I think I'm just set now. I think I'm just going to do everything in batches of 100. I think it's great.
Just
100 Sakaarans at once.
100 Sakaarans. Metallics on 100 Sakaarans. Can't be that bad, can it? Surely.
That would really upset me.
Just get three whole pots of decayed metal into like the lid from a spray can. Put like a pipette of water in there, give it a stir, and just hope it doesn't go dry.
Yeah.
Awful. But absolutely insane. You know, it is. I know we're doing the positive episode. I know we're doing the no grumpy episode. But I think the sentiment that you expressed at the start of that monologue there, Will, is something that's really being felt by a lot of people.
Good.
Yeah. A lot of people are being, you know, sad or being grumpy or being just out and out disinterested.
Which is fine
because you can't be interested in the same thing for 12 years and not be like, "Oh, I can't be arsed this month," or this is disappointing, you know. I get it. It's good that you've come through the other side. I hope the rest of the guys do as well. But if they don't, that's absolutely fine, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that their gripes and stuff will all be addressed at some point.
Exactly, yeah. A big thing for me was you just need to just talk to people about it and be around people with a good energy and a good
mindset
about the whole thing.
That's 100% it. That's the same as, like, it's the same when I'm hyped to play 40K down my local club and everything else. Like, there's no point me banging on the door of our group chats at 40K being like, "Guess what my Lord Solar Marshal did last night?" Like, you don't care. And nor should you care, right? So then, if you're like, "Oh, that's great, but I want to talk about my dark mech or whatever," it's then easy for me to be like, "Oh, yeah, oh, now I'm not interested in my
Astra Militarum or my guard or whatever. But if I talk to the right fucking people, the people I'm actually playing games with, the people I know who are actually going to be at the club, they're going to go to the events, all the rest of it, they'll be like, oh my God, holy, that's so sick. Tell me more about what happened. Tell me more about the strategy you use and everything else. You get hyped for it again. And that's the same. You know, we, you know, with Heresy, all we've got to do is, just us three, right? All we have to do is even start recording and we get hyped.
True, you know, true.
So I'm good. I'm glad that you know, sort the wisdom of asking me seems to be a recurring theme of not being a piece of shit for once.
Yeah, I know. It's, I mean, I was amazed, but yeah, great. Yeah.
Well, I'm only giving him an easy ride because Rob seems to be giving him so much shit about that model. So...
Oh no.
Oh no. Right, Giles, what have you been doing? And how much Boys. Dark mech have you bought?
Oh, I've just been fucking snorting demon engines like you wouldn't believe. So, quick update. It's been 5 weeks. What was I doing 5 weeks ago? I can't even fucking remember. In fact, I think 5 weeks ago, I was building Germans when we last recorded.
Last episode we actually
painted some Germans.
Put out, I think you were doing Dark Angels. Still.
Oh yeah. So
you finished your Dark Angels.
Oh yeah. Oh, Christ, such time. Dark Angels were going, but they were going slowly. Don't want to rush them. There was like a 2 or 3 week bolt action wobble, which I'm still enjoying painting. In fact, I was painting some just now, but only because my mech transfers haven't arrived from Forge World yet. I'll be here tomorrow, and these Germans are going straight back in the box. So
like
box that puppy up and send it back. Yeah, the plan was to take the Dark Angels to the end of September Heresy Hammer event. However, timings, don't want to rush it. Time doesn't add up. It's not going to work. I was severely hampered by some real life, such as assignments for my degree, all that kind of thing. Didn't have time to paint. Had to prioritize things. So they've been placed upon the back burner, but they are absolutely not forgotten about, and I'm still very rigid for them. Mm. They're to be circled back around on. Therefore, I thought to myself, okay, that target isn't achievable. Let's be objective. What's next? An event after that, Malmo. Enormous excitement for that.
Yeah. I think during
I think either during or after the last episode I booked my plane tickets, so now I've got my event ticket that was obviously done first. I've got my Airbnb with Harry and Anna booked for while we're in Copenhagen. I've got my hotel booked for during the event. Flights are booked. Trains I'll deal with when I get there. I've booked my airport car parking. So all I've got to do now is
paint some models.
Paint my mech. Get those mech to a very lovely person that's driving them there for me, so I don't have to get them on a plane.
Who still needs to book everything, hasn't booked a single thing yet. Perfect.
Oh, well, I did book a twin room, so you're welcome to bunk up with me. Mostly because I couldn't work out how to order like a king-size bed to myself, and because the deluxe rooms were all fully booked.
The problem you'll have there, Will, is that Nathan's too busy telling people on the internet how to play Heresy properly.
No, you can't walk out of combat. How many times?
How many times? Death Guard can't walk out of combat.
You scatter with Iron Warriors onto a tank, it doesn't make it strength 10 against the infantry. You fucking idiot.
Speaking of him, quickly, I went to an event like 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, you pushed his shit in.
I played him 3 times, grudged him 3 times at one day event.
Such a shit.
And it was
camera.
So good. It was so good.
Yeah. I
recommend that. Or like we were saying, because he was like one of the playtesters or whatever, do you know what I mean? He like pioneered the game or whatever. And we were saying, like, you had your chance at the start. You could have put a pillow over me while I was sleeping and snuffed me out. But you let me grow. You let me develop new tastes and new flavours. And now I've just surpassed you. And
been marinating in Heresy for months.
Smashed him 3 times in one day. So says it all. Yeah.
Now, I still maintain there is such a class system of Heresy in that there are the people who understand the game to, like, a Tron level autistic plateau. You're on it, Nathan's on it, Alex is on it, all of these people who can just be like, well, obviously this is 0.6 less efficient. And then that's me who are just like, oh, the sun killers in the book were mentioned once, that means Emperor's children should take 10 las cannons. just fucking...
Why did you become Northern?
Because I was doing Psy.
It's true, it's true. I had Psy in that as well. Jeez.
Yeah. Jeez, Charles. God.
Yeah. Have you, gosh.
Have you seen that he's on TikTok and all he does is just... Hang on. I'm live on podcast telling family
on TikTok
to shut the fuck up.
Oh,
Sy's not on TikTok. No, Napoleon.
Oh, the kid. On TikTok. Oh,
I see. You mean John Hedder?
Right. Yeah. He's on TikTok just doing Napoleon Dynamite stuff. Yeah,
it's amazing.
It is sick.
Maybe he's on Cameo. That'd be even better. We could pay him to do like a vlog.
You know Jay from the Inbetweeners.
Oh, mate, yeah. Mental, isn't it?
He has made millions.
Just calling people bus wankers.
Yeah, because he was on a podcast and I saw a snippet of it on TikTok and they were like, you know, obviously nothing big, no offence to you, but nothing big has come your way since Inbetweeners. There's no movies or anything that have come your way. Like, we know you've done that show on Dave, like, you know, and you've done obviously the films and stuff since and stuff. Like, you were on a stage show and he's like, yeah, I'm keeping myself busy. But they're like, but has the quality of life changed? Because obviously you had loads of money when you were a kid, how are you finding it now? And he went, you don't understand how much fucking money I make on Cameo. Like, I can charge someone £60 to call their mate a bus wanker in 15 seconds and I've got 60 quid. He was like, you can look it up on the stats. I have made millions on Cameo. And I'm just like, fuck it now, what is Britain? We're not even a real country anymore.
A recession? I don't know. Cost of living crisis?
Cost of living crisis. I'm going to pay my mate to be called a bus wanker.
40 quid?
It's the only way.
Yeah. Right, so that's what we've... no, Josh. No, surely.
No,
Hold up. Wait a minute.
Something ain't right.
I'm not anywhere near done. Yes, so we paused the Dark Angels. We've looked forward to Malmo. Great excitement. So that means I need to bosh out the Malmo list. Now, those who listen and retain information and are super keen may recall my current mech list is in need of some work because it's fucking hectic. Too much. It needs to be wound down.
It might be bullshit, mate. Pure bullshit.
It's definitely bullshit.
If he's saying it's bullshit.
I thought it was going to be good, and it turns out...
It's bullshit, yeah.
It's fucking insane. Now, I will say, it can be turned up, but that's just not going to happen, because I like being friends with people.
How would you turn it up? How would you turn it up?
Swarm Brother Allies, so you can put consoles in with the Myrmidons. But no. We shouldn't even say that on air. Bleep that out, Tom, and editing. Bleep it out.
I don't do editing.
Now,
fuck. Honestly, it's worth leaving it in. So
move on quickly.
Month, Nathan can be like, but consoles don't do that.
I'll come up with the worst combo ever.
Like, yeah. No, that's for Sultan to do.
Yeah. Anyway. So, it's going to be wound down. So I've wound it back. There's no way I'm taking a poor fire on overseas because one, bun transporting it, and the bigger reason number two, I'd like to make friends with our Scandinavian compatriots. I don't want them thinking I'm a cunt. I'll save that for the people in the UK that know me better. So poor fire on's out. I'm going to bring some new bits in. So I think is Malmo 3K or 3250? I've got at least.
I think it's 3250, mate.
I think so. So I've got 650 points of Porfiron to bin off, plus 250 points of extras, because my mech is exactly 3K, and that's all I've got at the moment.
Porfiron's only 650 points.
I think it's actually less than that, but because I swap the auto cannons out for las cannons, that's like 10 extra points. Anyway, we move. So Porfiron's out. So I'm trying to keep like similar roles within the army, but just obviously nowhere near as effective. Like a Thanatar is, the time you've then got a tech priest to follow it around so it can cyber thurge, is half the amount of points for Porfiron, but puts out less than a quarter of the damage. So we've got a Plasma Thanatar coming in, we've got an Ursarax coming in. An Arl Attax.
Oh, juicy.
Looking
your
Arl Attax
looks great.
I was looking at it as they're terrible in the rules, so it balances out the fact that the Merms are quite strong.
Malmo
FAQ, which is
good.
Well, you're off your fucking chops.
Well,
Who's out here running freeze after this?
Yeah, once. So the Isle attacks, like, normally it only has AP4 attacks. Malmo have given it, they've got quite a lengthy FAQ, and one of those things, they made Power Blade arrays AP3. I was like, okay, that's enough. That's all I need. So I'm going to give that Paragon of Metal, and I'm going to stick one of the upgrade arms on so it can punch stuff at strength 9 or blend stuff at AP3, and it's just going to go and do its thing. And that's like 200 odd points of vast mediocrity. So I thought that great, that balances out a bit. And then just going to bring a few other bits as well. So I realised that I was intending to include the Mac Assassin, but then realised that's loyalist only, and I've got a traitor ticket, so I need to burn that off, find another 100 points. But that's fine, no drama.
The Malmo FAQ is 24 pages long.
Yeah, it's a lengthy document. Anyone that's going, if you're listening, I'd thoroughly recommend giving it a read. You've also got all the extra units from the Morn Opticon or whatever it's called.
Mong Opticon, of course.
Yeah, so there's like an extra 60 odd units you can take there. I doubt there'll be many people. Well, certainly, I don't think many of the Brits will take them, because I don't think many of our more local metas run it that frequently.
True.
It would just be a case of, oh, hello, Swedish friend who runs this regularly. Please, can you explain this to me? And I'm sure they'll probably do some better English than the Northerners in this country can speak. And yeah, I'm just buzzing for it. So I've got all of that, is I've got it as far as I can without decals, so that they're all my mech are all quite heavily chipped, so said heavy chipping is done. I thought I'm quite happy with the smaller models in my mech, like the Merms and the Thalax, because apart from the Thalax are basically a one colour, so, but the Merms is a bit of variation, but the Thanatar just looks like one big beige blob, the one I've currently got. So I've added some black and red hazard stripes, and I'm going to make that a theme across the bigger models within the army.
That looks good, now you've introduced that spot colour.
Yeah, so I've introduced that. I'm going to bring in some more reds into all the models, I think, as well. With that, I'm also going to break the bases up a little bit, chuck in some little rocks, a few different colour things. I was thinking maybe... I guess a desert basis, so I don't know how flowers would look, but I think like a red flower on the base might be a way to introduce red to the base as well, kind of tie that in a little bit, but I think that's going to be something that will require placing a few on there and see how they look.
Sounds like a great idea.
Desert and all.
Yeah.
But I had a really good chat with Powerful Adam, Full Circle Hobby Adam. Powerful man, running through. What an absolute G. We generally spent probably 40 minutes on a Discord discussing real life, chatting about painting. He's given me some great ideas for how to mix things up on them, kind of give a bit more. Adam very kindly said it's kind of, you've got it to like a good base, and now it's time to kind of elevate it. So I feel like I've got it in the tank, going to just give it a go. So the old Thanatar I've glossed up, just the armour panels. I've got the second Thanatar up to the same stage as that. I'm going to progress them both together, do the Ursa Rex at the same time. Then that's in October. Then in November, boys, we got a ticket to the Warhammer World team event, didn't we? So Tom is our... I'll back up because I can't commit right now, but you're substitute. Yeah. Hopefully can come along for the day if nothing else.
Well, I'm definitely coming along for the day.
I'll come along, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm definitely coming. I've already warned Laura that I'll be away that weekend.
Yeah, perfect.
And I think my intention is to either bring my knights or borrow one of the local guys' knights, and then if I am needed, I can just bun in. But I'm also going to make it sort of fairly public that I'm up there and can fill in. So if someone else, you know, needs a spot, I can, for another team, I'll just slip in and can take someone's place or whatever.
Scoop. I'm in. Yeah.
Yeah, and I am. Whether I play or not, I'm just buzzing to just be up there for one of these events because they look fantastic.
Yeah. This is a narrative one as well, specifically.
Yeah, so, yeah. And I think, you know, in the past, they have gotten a bit of a bad rap. Not locally. globally, almost.
Globally, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, Kieran and Adam, the parents, were like, we've had bad things.
Yeah, yeah, and that's because of the cult behaviour behind some of the people who go there, which is pretty strange, but I guess it's no different to how we all act towards, like, Medwell or Ollie or someone. So it's just different people. But there is also, you know, there's always the spectre of playing a Warhammer World. You know, it's been a long time since I've played a game at Warhammer World. It's been a long time since I've played.
The last time I played a game at Warhammer World was the game that me, you, and me, Harry, and you, yeah. Tom, played.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had your poor fire on.
I did.
I think Harry and I killed it in one turn.
On the way to Melos, wasn't it?
That was pre Melos, yeah. Yeah. I've never been to.
Ian brought his Mastodon and played.
Of course he did, yeah, yeah.
He played old Mastodon.
Such good times.
It died like turn one. But yeah, that was really good, and that was a really good game. God, I love Knights. Like, it was such a fantastic army to play with. That was the last time I played there. I think the last time I went there was a bit after that, was the greetings before COVID. But yeah, that was a long time ago, the last time I was there. And it is one of my favourite places to go, to visit, to be through. Haven't seen the Saturnine exhibition yet.
Oh, fuck, I hadn't even thought of that.
Have you seen that yet, Will? You must have been through it and seen that.
I've seen it, yep. Harry and I went and saw it.
It is
as good as you think it is.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be really huge for me, because, like, two of my friends, cheers, Ru, went through the exhibition recently when they went to Warhammer World, and they said that Saturnine, they didn't even see it. So when they came out, I was like, what did you think of the Saturn exhibition? They were like, oh, we didn't pay too much attention to Heresy. And I was like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah, fucking idiots.
Yeah, honestly.
What a bunch of losers.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to doing that. It's I'm the whole Warhammer World experience, you know, Bugmans and everything else. I'm really looking forward to it. Even though it's you four playing, and probably, unless life gets in the way, none of you four are going to drop, which is fine. Yeah. And I will just slot in for some, you know, because there's loads of boyfriends going to that event as well.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
I think people we know seem to have done, got quite lucky with the ticket.
Heresy on the Hill, I've got a ticket.
Oh, yeah, they all have, haven't they? Yeah.
Medwell and Ilk have got a
ticket. Oh, Heresy again. EMP again. Yeah. Heresy on the Hill again. Oh, that's hot, isn't it? That's hot.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it is going to be a really good event, actually, because it's going to be one of the first events we go to where it's not run by a boyfriend, which is kind of a strange thing now, because normally when we go to events, they're normally run by someone we know. It's normally Rob, Pete, Greetings, Attrition, you know, Pete Cook down in Brighton, Cy and Spartan Axe. You know, it's usually someone that we know is running the events that we're going to. And this one is like, we obviously know them, but we haven't got a hand in it. We haven't got any early access to it. We're not, you know, it's just...
You just had to get lucky of a ticket. Like, we had three of the team try and get one as on release, and I was the only person that managed to get one into the basket. You got fucking lightning reflexes, lightning fingers.
Anyone that had the fast enough fingers.
And we're gonna have to practice that again soon when End in the Death Part 2 comes up.
Oh jeez. Oh, yeah. Is that tomorrow? Is that Saturday?
No. Don't worry, Will. No, don't worry.
I think
the Amazon reveal or slip or whatever was November time. But who knows? But yeah, because it'll only be you and Ollie. So I think me, Giles, Harry, and I'll even rope Laura into it as well. We'll all be trying to get one. Same as we did last time.
No.
I ended up with spare one, sold it to Pete Whitlam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sorted him out. Right out.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to confirm, we are genuinely passing these on at cost. Just trying to assist people. There's no scalping going on here before anyone on the
50
internet
quid,
get their nicks.
50 quid for Edge of Empires, and then Pete Whitlam posted up that he failed to get one. And I messaged him saying, Pete, I tried to get one for Ollie. Ollie already got one. I ended up getting one. I got a spare one. Just transfer me 50 quid plus postage and I'll send it to you. And he fucking couldn't believe it. He was off his mind. But yeah, that's what you got to do, right? Because it only stops another scammer from putting up on eBay for 200 quid, right? If it goes to another boyfriend for cost, it's just a service provided, right?
Exactly. So yeah, hugely excited for the Warhammer World event.
Yeah.
And because that's loyalist, gives me a chance to... we got a lawyer's ticket. Gives me a chance to run the mech assassin that I can't take to Melmo cause traitor.
What's Ollie running for the loyalists then? Loyalist world eaters.
It's baby.
It's what?
What fists. Oh, he might run his lunar fists, walls.
Obviously.
Nah, fists. Probably not the lunar walls.
I doubt they'll be done in time.
They won't be done.
It'll be fists. It'll be just some of the casually fists you've ever seen. Come back.
I think with its, I think his fists list. It, I know you said it in the audio notes recently, but the most fun thing about his fist list is how much it evolves and how quickly it evolves.
It's just
like,
amazing
with his own morality, but also with like playing it and feeling like this is shit. Yeah. This is not fun. This is not fun for the other guy. Like, yeah, it's really good. Go on.
He's got so many guns. It is insane that list.
Too many guns.
What was I saying? I think I'm pretty much done, to be honest. I'm just buzzing for mech. So then, when we got a Tuesday drop of some Dark Mechanic and Demon Engines, so on a random Tuesday, I saw something pop up, a message, I think it was Harrison Hill Ben in a group chat, saying Demon Engines, and I thought, what's going on here? So I immediately hopped onto the Warhammer community and was like, oh my god, we've got a Tuesday Exemplary Battle.
And I'll tell you what else is, as well. I'd been speaking to people privately about, like, you know, Dark Mech coming up and everything, and I'd said it. People are going to be disappointed because this is going to be those goofy 40k Hellbrutes, the Mauler Fiends and the Forge Fiends, and the Helldrake. That's what you're going to get, and they just don't fit into any range that, you know, is currently applicable for 30k without some, you know, Jack Eldridge level work on it. And you know, that's what I thought. That's what I thought was going to happen. So when you get this and it is a bunch of other models with a whole list of rules, which I'm actually going to go through with, you know, on there if you guys are happy with that.
I was pleasantly
surprised at what we got. To be fair,
those Corsus engines are off the chain.
Yeah, so why don't we go through it quickly? I'm just going to skim read. I'm not going to read everything out because that'll take too long.
Should we hit us with like the unit entries and we can discuss each one briefly? How does that sound?
That sounds good. But the first thing, the one I want to go through first is this Cyberthurgic Arcana. Go into this, Jars, just because I'm hoping you can sort of help me understand what this is. So this is Dark Mech Wizard powers, yeah?
Essentially, so Cyberthurgy is something that already exists, obviously existed last edition as well. It runs on a very similar mechanic to a psychic test, but is obviously not a psychic test because robots don't believe in war magic.
No. The Kaban projects.
Exactly. So the current or the prior to this PDF, there was like a Cybernetica one, which is what allows Automata to react and give some other buffs.
Yeah.
There's the one where you can take control of an enemy vehicle and start blasting it. You can do. They've got psychic. Cyberthurgic attacks, the same as you've got psychic power attacks. So for each right, you've got like, as you have with a psychic tree, you've got a weapon and a power that does something.
Yeah.
So what actually casts these powers? Is it the demon engines or?
No, so it'll be someone that is a cyberthurgist. So that'll be someone like
it's a character,
an Archmagos Prime, Magos Dominus.
Yeah.
And these Priest Auxilia, the elite slot.
And there's one or two others as well. They can just choose to take.
Yeah, so the same as a psychic, most psychic powers, in lieu of a shooting attack, you can do one of these things.
So the Cyberthurgic Arcana Anima Malefica, which is just such a needlessly complicated four words, but whatever. The right that it can cause is the Animatus Malevolence. Instead of making a shooting attack, a Cyberthurgist with this may select a single friendly unit within 12 inches that is entirely composed of models with a corrupted engine unit subtype. So this is only going to be one of these new models, is that right?
Only on things inside this PDF. I think this is a new subtype.
Yeah, so the
pretty sure it's a new subtype.
Yeah, the new subtype is above with all of its, you know, rules and stuff. But there's nothing in the previous books or releases that have
I don't believe so. Don't remember seeing anything.
Okay. So this unit may The chosen unit may immediately move a number of inches up to its unmodified initiative characteristic directly towards an enemy unit.
That's already something you can do in the mech book.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Under a different thing, which is very handy. Will, I know that's something you've looked at a few times.
The Opus Fisteria. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know, you might, I'm not saying this has, that you can do this because I haven't checked, but you might be able to do
twice
both of those with different cyberthurgists and potentially slingshot them twice their initiative.
Yeah,
which would be pretty fucking spicy.
You would have to be within range twice though, right?
So yeah, so you'd probably need a Magus Dominus with like one of the Thalax jetpacks or something. So yeah, it's going to be very situational, but could help. Might be an option.
The next one is all models in the unit improve their invuln save by 1 to 3+.
Until the
straightforward, but goddamn handy.
Yeah, so to a 3+ is huge, right? 3+ invuln. What in the mech book that you? Sorry, let's make this a different way. What in your list, that heinous list you were talking about earlier on? What has a good invun, i.e. a 4 or...
Well, can this only be cast on demon engines?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's probably not too much of a worry for the rest of the mech list, but considering that most of these demon engines have a 5+ invul, that's pretty fucking... the jump to a 4, obviously, 16%.
It's
nothing else, it's psychologically, it goes from a... He's probably going to fail this to a...
I always feel, though, and I felt this since, 5th or 6th edition, that once you improve the invun to the point where it's an armor save, essentially, there's no detriment to just firing small arms fire at them. Because
you've got this other thing that's going on, which we'll get to shortly.
So the third one, which sounds like it's probably the best one, is all models in the unit add +1 to the weapon skill and initiative characteristics.
Yeah, so with the weapon skill changes, that is
If you consider the weapon skill changes, already know that's king on the in this game, and that all of these units, 2 Lords of War and 1 Fast Attack, are all basically Khorne demon engines, old Forge World models. They're designed to be hitting fast, so to hit a bit harder and a bit faster is just so good. Do we agree?
Time. Big time.
Yeah.
No doubt.
The weapon is Amthea something or other. Is an 18-inch gun, strength 5, AP 3, assault 3, blind, deflagrate, and cyberthurgic focus. So strength 5, AP 3, assault 3, blind, deflagrate is already bonkers. Before making any to hit rolls with this weapon, the cyberthurgist must make a cyberthurgy check. If the check is passed, then the cyberthurgic may attack as normal using the profile shown in the weapon. If the check is failed, then the cyberthurgic suffers cyberthurgic feedback, and if the model is not removed as a casualty, then it may attack as normal but may not use this weapon. So that just seems seems a bit shit. It's a good weapon, but having to be able to pass a leadership test for it, you would just use the right rather than the weapon, I think, most times.
Does that one have cyberthurgic feedback?
Not as
it'll say standard. Bomb.
Not as standard, okay. But it says if you fail the cyberthurgy check, you suffer cyberthurgic feedback.
Yeah, and that will pin you. So unless you're an Archmagos in like an abeyance, you're monstrous and therefore fearless. It's a big risk.
Ooh. Or unless you've got a character in there that makes you fearless.
Yeah.
Etheric dominions, which are like demon rules. I don't know if that is the same rule that's currently in any sort of publicized demon stuff. We've only had very few bits.
I think it pretty much is the same. So you're essentially fearless, and if you fail a leadership check, you take perils of the warp rather than falling back. I think that's pretty much
these,
same.
So these introduce two new dominions. Heedless Slaughter and Malevolent Artifice. So Heedless Slaughter sounds like the Khorne type one, and kind of runs you towards the Khan the Betrayer type storyline of doesn't even matter whether you're friend or foe. A unit entirely composed of models with a special rule must declare a charge if they're able when they begin the assault phase within 8 inches of an enemy. So you're looking at old sort of Fantasy Frenzy. If there is more than one eligible target, the controlling player chooses the target of any charges made, so long as the target is within 8 inches. Note that this does not allow models with this special rule to charge a different unit to the one they made a shooting attack against in the previous shooting phase, which is key. You know, that's one of the few times I've actually thought about that rule, because that would be abused.
You say there is a way around.
I'm sure there is. So, even if they've made a shooting attack against a unit which is further than 8 inches away, and there are eligible targets for a charge within 8 inches. Additionally, a unit composed entirely of models with this special rule adds +1 to charge, +1 to the score for combat res, and +1 to the value of any rolls used to determine the result of a sweeping advance. So that's really chargey ABC, charge all the time. How can you get around it, Charles?
Because the Kaitan, which is one of the
big boys,
is in this PDF, has flank speed, which is the rule the Cerastus Knights have.
Okay.
And that allows you, the last sentence of that rule is amazing. It allows you, as well as giving you some movement buffs, like I said, the last sentence allows you to shoot one thing and charge another. So considering that this guy has a punisher or a punisher cannon, like on one arm, effectively
Gatling
a punisher cannon,
cannon
on one arm,
essentially a punisher cannon,
you can blast and potentially pin one thing. Any casualties don't make your charge longer, because you can charge something else. So, for example, you can, I don't know, blast some recon marines and then charge the attack squad in front
so
of you.
You still got to charge what's inches.
So you've got to position yourself well, which you can do fine because the Kaitan's got enormous movement. Blast something else.
The only way this is really going to give you a gotcha moment, or a Columbo moment, as Will likes to call them, is that if your opponent uses an advanced Legion-specific reaction to reposition after you've moved. Because you'll have moved, so you'll have decided what's within 8 inches come your assault phase. The only way you're ever going to be caught out in this is if Alpha Legion fucked you or something like that, you know?
Cheeky little wriggle, that'd be quite cool actually.
The other Dominion is a Malevolent Artifice. Models with a special rule may re-roll all failed armor saves taken against wounds resolved at a strength value lower than their toughness. This special rule has no effect on cover saves and invuns. Now, just breezing through this, the Kaitan is an armor value, so has no toughness, which is really weird. The Greater Brass Scorpion is a vehicle, which has no toughness. And the Blood Slaughterer is toughness 6. So, I guess...
What about that Decimator? Because I believe the Decimator has this too. And he's toughness 7.
I forgot that was 4. The Decimator, toughness 7. So, basically, Bolters and Volkites against the Decimator, some assault cannons. But they're quite... Strength 6 shooting is quite rare in this game, right?
But unless you're a Volkite Culverin.
All your strength 4 and 5... you're getting the re-rollable.
Re-rolling a 2 or a 3 up.
It's a 2 plus, So, again, you would just not shoot those things at it, which is a huge part of your army. I mean, normally, if you're shooting at a Decimator, you're not shooting bolters at it. You're shooting las cannons and multi-melters and grav and all the rest of it. So, you might be all right. But it's still something that you need to bear in mind, because that's a really good rule and is probably... you know, depending on how the rest of the demon rules all shape out, that's probably going to be more the power play one, I feel. It's not fun. Slows the game down. Rerolling armor saves is never fun.
Is it heavy?
What do you mean?
No, I don't think it is. Has got the heavy subtype.
The Decimator.
The one
is heavy.
The one with the...
Yeah,
so it's going to be a good defensive unit, but aggressively it's quite slow.
Movement 7 compared to some of the, you know, movement 9 on the Blood Slaughterer, movement 10 on the Brass Scorpion, movement 14 on the Kaitan.
I like the Blood Slaughterers. They're the ones that I'd take.
Yeah, for sure. 110 points and they're murderers. Yeah. Absolute fucking psychopaths. Cool.
They are first edition Cortices. Perfect.
Yeah, so let's go through the Blood Sorcerer while we're here. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but just because this is quite a big chunk of rules, and I feel like...
It's massive, isn't it? Yeah.
I feel like these chunks of rules, like the Militia Codex and stuff, just pass us by a little bit and no one really sinks their teeth into. But I feel like Dark Mech, with like Plastic Knights and Plastic Cerastus and things like that, we're going to see more of these sorts of things in the game. And I think that anything that takes the game away from just Marines or Marines... is a good shake-up. It's a good landscape alterer, you know?
Agreed.
So a Blood Slaughter is 110 points for fast attack. Movement 9, which is good. But the key things here are weapon skill 5 is just huge. Strength 6, toughness 6, 5 wounds. Initiative 3 is pretty shit. 4 attacks, 3 up save, leadership 9. It's a Dreadnought unit type and Corrupted Engine, so it's got the above unit type. So just as a TLDR, it's got things like Fear. It's got things about fallback, and rather than run away, it just suffers automatic wounds. If you attack it with the Force or Psychic Focus, they gain the instant death special rule.
Yeah, same as for corrupted units.
Correct. So there is some downsides to these things, because librarians and stuff are still pretty prevalent. This has Heedless Slaughter, so you can't take the rerollable thing. It has to take the "this is the charge you all the time" thing.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense.
Furious Charge 1, hit and run, Malefic Aegis 6+, which is just its invun, I guess. Move through cover, correct. Has to be a traitor. 2 Slaughterer Blades. Can take an Impaler Harpoon, which is pretty mental, and they can run in squads of 3. Do you know what a Slaughterer Blade is? That's further down.
I think it's AP3. It's like an AP3 weapon.
AP3 melee rending 6+. So it's got 2 of them. So it's going to have 7 attacks on the... No, that's not true. It's going to have... What? 6 attacks on the charge. Strength 6, AP3, melee rending 6+. It's not bad. The Impaler Harpoon is strength 6, AP3, heavy 1, impale, 12-inch range, not long. A unit may reroll charge rolls when attempting to charge an enemy that has suffered one or more hits from a unit with the impale special rule. So if you shoot first, you get reroll charge. This takes
which is pretty tasty with
wounds, which is huge.
Which is a great, it's a great combo with Furious Charge and Hit and Run.
Yeah, so Furious Charge, Hit and Run, well, after you've impaled them, if one or more wounds are caused by this weapon with this rule, the affected unit decreases its initiative characteristic by 1, which is a good way to for some matchups, because obviously the Blood Slaughterers are only initiative 3. So it's a good way to bring initiative 4 things down to initiative 3, which is pretty
probably
good.
Probably worth sticking one of those. If you're running a squadron, probably worth taking the hit, losing the 2x combat weapons, but taking one of these on one of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. If you're running them in more than a singular, you want at least one Impaler Harpoon. Don't send them against Terminators.
Great.
Yeah, I think these are going to be great, and I think in, you know, a lot of Word Bearers armies, a lot of mech armies that are traitor, you're going to start seeing Blood Slaughterers pop up, and I'm condoning the use of other models here. I think that, you know, whatever you deem as a Blood Slaughterer is a Blood Slaughterer, right? I know there's an old Forge World model.
As long as it's the right size, got the right weapons, I think there's a huge amount of scope here for mixing things up, kit bashes, conversions, all that good shit.
100%. I'm just... Blood Slaughterer. I think... So a Blood Slaughterer... The Impaler has got a model, I didn't know that. But the Blood Slaughterer from Forge World looks like a very dated kit now, if I'm honest. And it's 70 dibs, which is what it is.
Madness.
Yeah, but so 70 dibs for 110 points is not bueno, really. But, you know, like I'm saying, there are ways around this. I'm sure there's some, you know, plastic GW corn chaos thing. If it were me, I'd...
How big are the Juggernauts?
No, they're not too small.
They're too small.
But, fair. You know the Lord Discordant thing? The thing that a Lord...
See, I was thinking about trying to turn one of those into some kind of abeyant for an Archmagos at some point.
I still think, I'm just looking at it now, just Lord Discordant. So I still think the core of that could be a good abeyant, because it's still quite big. You just don't put all of the tails and the gun and the stuff on it. It would still look pretty good. But I think if you ran a Lord Discordant mount, no rider and no silly gun on top of it, as a Blood Slaughterer, I would not give a shit. And they're 25 quid cheaper each.
I think as well, like, because the Kaitan is that tall, lanky knight, which some people love. I'm not personally as much of a fan of. I think I'd go down the route of plastic Chaos Knight plus a plastic Castigator cannon when that comes out.
Well, I think it's a Cerastus Knight, right? Because it's got flanking speed, it's got the tall, leggy limbs and stuff. I think it's supposed to be a corrupted Cerastus. So I think a Castigator with some Chaos Pads on.
And the Castigator would be a piece of piss to swap the Deflagrate Sword to a fuck-off Chain Axe.
Yeah. So I think that's the way. Because this a Kaitan from Forge World is 117.50.
Wow.
Which is still considerably less than the Cerastuses.
Let's have a look. Castigate.
It's just insane.
I like 200 quid now.
Oh my fuck. When the fuck did that happen?
So when you look at it like that, Kaitan's probably quite good value.
How is it half the cost? Oh, anyway. Hype episode. Fuck that. Fuck that.
A plastic
Lancer.
That'll be like 100 quid of mine though.
A Lancer, a plastic one, is 120 dibs. Plastic one.
So it's 100 quid from Element.
Yeah, Element.
Which you should definitely purchase via the podcast kickback link. So go to our Instagram page, click on the link, click Friends of the Show Element Games. If you buy it through that link, it helps us out greatly, and we'll love you forever even more than we do already.
Yeah. This the scheme on the GW site for the Lancer, this purple and pink, is pretty good. Anyway, Blood Slaughterers, I would use a different model or find an alternative. Whatever you can, because those things are mental. The Decimator. This is
the one I enjoy the most, I think.
So the Decimator is a really good model, but again, is really old. So only Lee and Matt Burney like it anymore. And I think Lee has one. He runs it as a Archmagus.
Definitely used to, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I voted it as best walker at some event, and he told me it was a character. And then I told him it was clearly a walker. And he told me it was clearly a character. The Decimators are good, but again, you could use like any sort of fucked up Leviathan or Hellbrute big boy or something like that, because I think that's quite a small base, actually. But they're 265.
Yeah, the bases they come on very small.
Yeah, because they're old 7th edition bases, right? So movement 7, weapon skill 5 again, ballistic skill 4, strength 8, toughness 7, wound 7, initiative 4, 5 attacks, leadership 8. Don't know why it's leadership down, but it is. I guess it's crazy. 2 plus armor save. The 2 plus armor save is really nice.
It's a dreadnought, so it doesn't matter anyway if it's leadership.
Because it's Khorne as well.
True. Oh, Khorne, yeah. Leadership 8. Yeah, nice. It's a heavy corrupted engine. So, as Will says, 2 Decimator Siege Claws with built-in heavy flamers. A Decimator Siege Claw is strength user, so strength 8, AP 2, melee, brutal 3. So, brutal 3 is what really counts here as being fucking baller.
That's the juicy bit. Yeah,
this has got the Dominion of Malevolent Artifice, so this is re-rolling its 2 up armor save against small arms fire, anything strength 7 or lower. Auto cannons, it's re-rolling its armor save. It's mental. Hammer of Wrath 2, Furious Charge 2, Malefic Aegis 5+, move through cover traitor, and then you can swap out the weapon. So this is only a unit of 1 for 265 points, and you can swap out its one or both. Exchange either of its, yeah, so either or, for a Butcher Cannon or a Soul Burner Petard, which is a weird word. So a Butcher Cannon is strength 7, AP 4, heavy 3, rending 6 plus, twin linked, so it's an auto cannon basically. And then the Soul Burner Petard is a strength 6, AP 4, heavy 1, 3 inch blast, breaching 5 plus, flesh blane. So both of those seem a bit weird. I think I'll just run it with the melee. You must have done this some maths on this. Are any of the guns worth it on that?
I haven't done any maths, but purely on the look test, no data, not bothering. I think I would I'd quite like the idea of having 2 of these. So there, you can't squadron them, but there are ways in the mech list where you can move some slots around via Myrmidax, for example, so it doesn't have to sync all of your heavy support options effectively,
right?
And you can maniple Thanatars, for example.
Yeah.
So I think I'd run this, then I'd cyber thurgy them both up the board.
Yeah.
Let's try and get them up there. Maybe
not move them very far though. The Blood Slaughter was only going to move
not,
initiative but, 3.
But it's only gonna every, move 3 inches. Every inch counts, Tom.
Well,
I think I would probably quite enjoy running. At the moment, I tend to run 2 units of Myrmidon Sectors, but I think maybe slim that down to 1, and I can get, by binning that off, I can afford 1.5 Decimators. So I think that'd be quite a cool little mix-up.
Yeah.
And then could have a could you use a Magos Auxilia for these ones? But anyway, there'll be ways around it, I'm sure, where you can shunt them up a little bit, speed them up. I think they probably only need a little bit of extra pace.
Well, they both move through cover, which is huge for getting around the board exactly. and stuff. So,
and the weapon skill 5, which is there's so little of in the mech book.
But
and
they're
it's
potentially weapon skill 6. So you, exactly. I don't think you would want the Blood Slaughterer to go in against Terminators, but that Decimator, you would love that in combat with some Terminators.
Yeah, unless their Sons of Horus. Then, yeah.
Well, yeah. But if you made that weapon skill 6 and ran that into pretty much anything that isn't just Aerin, I think you'd be on to a
do
good
bits.
One. Yeah, I think you'd do bits.
And Kaitan is already weapon skill 6, the knight equivalent.
Yeah.
So
let's start. Let's
that's
move
pretty
to that
crazy.
One, so. Kaitan Demon Engine is 420 points. 420 because it's fucking high.
420.
14 inch movement. What's a normal Cerastus? Is it 14?
I think that's 14 as well. I think.
Weapon skill 6, which is crazy. Ballistic skill 3, strength 9, front armor 13, 12, 12. Initiative 4, 4 attacks. That seems low, but it isn't really. And then 8 hull points. It's a knight, so it's got you know the unit type of knight rather than dreadnought. Another corrupted engine. It's got the etheric dominion of heedless slaughter, so it has to be it's ABC always charging. Flank speed, as you said, for some Cerastus movement, which is pretty nice. Hammer of Wrath 4. At strength.
Yeah,
point,
that's tasty.
Which is just bonkers. Rampage D3. Rampage is now if you're outnumbered.
Yep.
Correct.
How much does a knight count as in terms of models?
1.
So there you go. So it's always got it's always unless you're charging another Cerastus, basically it's always got D3 extra attacks.
Or a dread, yeah.
Yeah,
or
always
a
dread, be outnumbered. Yeah.
Malefic 5 plus. So it's
which got, it gets in combat, which a lot of the Cerastuses don't.
Which it gets in yeah, that's true, yeah. So it's got so yeah, unless you're a lancer, you don't have an impun in combat, right? So this does. Mm-hmm. Because it's a demon. Arm mounted chitin gatling cannon. So the arm mounted chitin gatling cannon is 36 inch
cannon,
strength 6, AP 4, heavy 18, pinning shell shock 1. Obviously it's good. Ballistic
you're only three. BS3 crap,
yeah.
But
yeah, ballistic skill 3, but you've only
chance got, to pin something.
Yeah, if it was shell shock 2, I think that would have been really exciting, because I think then you're hoping, like, if you shoot 18, you're hoping to hit with 12, maybe. You're going to wound with 8, and then you're just hoping a couple of failed saves, and then you're just all you want is 1 to get that shell shock off. Really,
it's also got fear as well. So
yeah, as part of the unit type, right?
Way into it can inject it minus Sorry, 2, which is pretty tasty.
Yeah, so that's a good little stack with part of its unit type. And then the Cleaver of Slaughter, which is a really Age of Sigmar-y name, I love it, is strength 10, AP 2, melee brutal 3, shred. Oh. So this is phenomenal, and this is your dread killer.
Did you
everything killer?
Right. Yeah, the fact that the knights, the existing knights, don't have any brutal weapons is insane. Yeah. So it's really good to see they've addressed that. If with this knight, maybe we'll get FAQ on the others in the future. Let's hope so.
Yeah.
And it's just it's so good. I think it's actually pointed. It's good, but I don't think it's broken because it's 40 points more than the Castigator.
Yeah.
Has several advantages, but also one or two drawbacks over the Castigator. So yeah, I think everything in this book is in this Exemplary Battles is good, but not mental, and pointed pretty well. This is obviously only coming from reading the PDF about 6 times and being overexcited by it, and internet chat. But I think we'll see these units, but I don't think they'll be spammed, which is, I guess, really where we want all the new stuff to be.
Yeah.
That kind of place, don't we?
You kind of do want it to be not like 40k or Age of Sigmar, where everything they touch turns to broken. Because that's what happens in both of those games, especially Age of Sigmar at the moment. But 40k especially, 40k at the moment, because it's just come back out. But whatever they seem to touch, they make it fantastic. And when you try and balance it back down, they haven't quite figured out how to do it. And it's really hard to balance things down rather than balance them up. And whenever a new thing comes out for Horus Heresy, we all say that it's fucking broken. Tank commanders, they're fucking broken. You're going to see them on every single tank. Nope. You know, the last load of demons that came out, these are fucking skits. You're going to see them everywhere. Nope. You know, and these have come out. The immediate chatter was, these are all busted. This is absolutely retarded rules writing. You're going to see them everywhere. Nope. But I think these have got more of a chance of being seen at your local events.
Absolutely.
At your impressions and your greetings and stuff. I think most most word bearers players are going to bring... So run me through mechanically, if I was a word bearer player, how I bring a Khitan.
You need a Pravian, essentially. A Khitan, that's a Lord of War, so you can take it through your Lord of War slot.
That's all I need. I just need my Lord of War slot. But the other units, I have to refer to this Legion Pravian and Corrupted Engines rule that's up at the top of the PDF.
Si, senor. And then because they're Mechanicum faction units, it says you can take them as part of a Mechanicum detachment, so you could take them as a primary or allied slot with mech, which is... Yep. Great, again, because they particularly fill some gaps in the mech list with their weapon skill 5, basically.
Yeah, weapon skill 5 is a huge one, yeah. So that is probably one of the most in-depth pieces of rules we've gone through ever. But the last thing I just want to go through with this PDF is, because these are always the forgotten things, is the mission.
I've not even read the mission yet. I get so every time I go into the PDF intending to, I get distracted by general other excitement.
Yeah, so this is a Zone Mortalis mission, which is a bit weird. Breach the command center. In this mission, one player will be the defender, obviously representing traitor forces attempting to repel the assault upon the command bunker. Another will be the attacker, representing the loyalists attempting to break through the enemy force and slay the commanders. This legendary mission is a Zone Mortalis mission. Victory conditions, shatter the defences. Victory in this mission is decided by two objectives and the status of the attacker's warlord. So don't forget, the attacker is the loyalist. Yeah. This mission uses an objective zone and single blast door objective. Each objective has different effects on the victory points total of both players, as well as having other in-game effects. So the objective zone, the defender's deployment zone, which is the traitor deployment zone, is also the objective zone. At the end of each player turn, both players calculate the number of total wounds models within the objective zone have. This is the total number of wounds, not the starting number of wounds total. If that makes sense, right? The player with the higher wounds total controls the objective. So this is nothing to do with scoring at the moment. This is just about wounds in that zone. The player who controls the objective zone at the end of each turn, player turn, scores 2 victory points during turns 1 and 2, D3 plus 1 during turns 3 and 4, D3 plus 3 during turn 5 onward. Blast door objective. The blast door objective is a piece of terrain that may be targeted by any of the attacker's models and is treated as a building with no fire points or battlements, transport capacity of 0, and a single facing with armor value 12. The blast door has 8 hull points. However, when it suffers a penetrating hit, it instead loses D3 hull points. No roll is made on the building damage table. If the blast door objective is reduced to 0 hull points, it does not suffer a total collapse result. Instead, it is destroyed and removed from the battlefield, blah, blah, blah. 5 VPs if you destroy it. If it's still standing, score 5 VPs on the other side. If at the end of the battle the attacker's warlord has been removed as a casualty for any reason, the defender scores 2 victory points. If the attacker's warlord is still in the battlefield, the attacker scores 1 victory point instead. At the end of the battle, blah, 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 some warlord shit. So setting up the mission, this legendary mission uses the Zone Mortalis mission Strategium Assault Deployment Map, whatever that one is. A network of tunnels and doors should be placed within 24 inches of the attacker's battlefield edge to represent the tunnel leading to the command center. Only barricades and debris should be set up on the remainder of the battlefield. So I like that. I like there being some specificity in the terrain of the board. 6 inches either side of the center of the defender's battlefield edge is the blast door objective. This battle does not use reinforcement points. Ooh. Both players deploy full armies during deployment and no units may be placed in reinforcements.
Wow, that's interesting.
So that is one of those rules where that is only fun if you're playing this as part of a campaign. Because if you play this as a one-off, you take away the flavour of Zone Mortalis. But as we all know, in a campaign weekend, some of the fun is when you blow the, the doors off the restrictions, right? So bear that in mind. Deployment Firestone, blah, 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 blah. System override, lockdown protocol at start of the first turn. Before any models are moved, the attacker may select up to three pieces of door terrain to be locked. So that's that. My only mission, my only thing in that is that the attacker wants to slay the commander, but it's the attacker's warlord that yields victory points.
Yeah.
So I think that is wrong, gents. If I'm honest, I think that is a mistype or a typo, however you choose to say it. I believe they mean the other way around. I think they mean the defender's warlord, because the whole point of this is the loyalists are storming it to defeat the traitor warlords. So I think it's the traitor warlord that needs to yield victory points, not the other way around. But good to see a legendary mission. Good to see some more Zone Mortalis love in there. Obviously, we've played some Zone Mortalis.
True, we did, yeah.
Maybe this is a good point to move into that game quickly, Giles. So if Super Giles hasn't killed himself.
I'm sorry, I'm still here.
That's right. So the games we played at your house...
Señor.
Obviously, we did a whole like 40 minutes of recording about how hyped we were, the preparation of detail for, which all got lost into the warp. But essentially, you got everyone round for some of barbecue, some of the prime friends.
Absolutely had up. a couple of boys, some High Level Heresy, played some ZM, played some Carnage, consumed various BBQ'd meats.
Mm.
Just a good, it was a good day. Signed some paperwork that Pete brought down.
Yeah.
So if you need a will or a power of attorney, hit that guy up.
You all should have powerful.
Yeah, got powerful Robert Medwell to witness some of my paperwork, which felt right, you know.
Yeah.
It was generally just a good day. Lovely to see everyone. Hopefully do another one at some point.
Yeah, it was a really good day. It was good to see to bring Lloyd up, to get him to see some Heresy.
So good to get Lloyd involved.
And obviously he got to play as well, and Ollie lent him the World Eaters, and Lloyd felt like he was handling works of art to play these Foot Soldiers with.
He also controlled my Dark Angels while I was BBQing for periods of time, so I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, he's a good egg. He was very bowled over by how nice everyone was. I don't think it's bad to say this because none of them listen to this podcast, but Lloyd has a tendency to withdraw from our local community because there is a high amount of usual Warhammer nerds at our club.
Oh, yes.
They drain your social battery very quickly and make you not enjoy the game that you're playing. So Lloyd was, you know, his main bit of feedback was, yes, the game is good. Yes, the armies were obviously up to award-winning standard across the board, but it was more the fact that the seven or eight of us who were there, it didn't feel like a socially draining day. It felt like a social engaging day. And he was really hyped. He really got on with Ollie, really got on with Cy. And obviously you guys played outside, Giles. So why don't you just spend 5 minutes telling us about the game outside?
So Saturday, the day before, is that Saturday or Sunday? Whatever day it was before.
I'm gonna interrupt you there, Giles. I'm really sorry because we've completely forgotten about something, which is that now our podcast app only allows us to take videos of a certain thing size. So I think we're going to pause for a little break.
Pause for an urgent break.
You have to have something that sticks. You have to have something that's monumental. When you walk out on stage, it has to be monumental.
Jiggle, jiggle.
Can you remember any of the rap that you did?
My money don't jiggle, jiggle. It folds. I'd like to see you wiggle, wiggle. For sure. It makes me want to dribble, dribble. You know, riding in my Fiat. You really have to see it. 6'2" in a compact. No slack. But luckily the seats go back. I got a knack to relax in my mind. Sipping some red, red wine.
I sit bruised from chalices. Cold in my palaces. Crib is so cramped you suck a supper from paralysis. Rhymes. I ride them in the castle. You try to diss me and pretty soon your arse will squat in the cell, cause I can tell you it's illegal. Treason, that's the reason I'm real. You'll do time for the crime of Les Majesty. And the police, cause they can't arrest me.
I like to see you wiggle, it makes me dribble. My money don't jiggle jiggle, it folds. I like to see you wiggle wiggle, for sure. It makes me wanna dribble dribble, you know, riding in my Fiat, you really have to see it. 6'2" in a compact, no slack, but luckily the seats go back. I got a knack to relax in my mind, sipping some red, red wine.
I like to see you wiggle, it makes me dribble. Fancy a fiddle, I like to see you wiggle, it makes me dribble. Fancy a fiddle, I like to see you wiggle, it makes me dribble.
And we're back. So thank you very much for that. I'm sure that for that, for you, it was like 20 seconds of the remix sound from...
Mid-song reload. Perfect. Yeah.
Skirt, skirt. And for us, it was 40 seconds of admin.
Yep.
Should we jump straight back in?
Straight back into the game in your garden.
So, yes. Checking the weather the day before, as any responsible person having friends over for a barbecue would do. Dry. No rain. Little bit of wind. But otherwise, perfect conditions. Day rolls round, open the windows. No gazebo. I tried to arrange one, hadn't quite gone to plan. Doesn't matter, we move. I looked at the weather, thought, oh, I don't actually need to worry about this. So the day began by 10 a.m. So it must have been a Sunday. 10 a.m. rolls round. Immediately scramble Frank to be in queue to go and pick up a gazebo that I've just click and collected. Frank does the Lord's work, collects that, returns it, we assemble it, we get the table set up, we start gaming. So we did 1k carnage, going to 1v1v1v1. Oof. Me, Sai, Ollie, Lloyd. Oh, just so much fun, lots of backstabbing, just you know, good, like you say, very enjoyable. Believe it or not, Lloyd took the fat dub on that one.
Oh, he smashed it.
I know, an absolute champion. Ollie and Sai tore bits out of each other.
trying for control of the best painted army.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah.
It was a proper game of like cat and mouse with their return fires and when to over to use reactions where, and like, there was plenty going on. Then partway through, I thought, right, it's time that I get the barbecue on. So I was kind of half playing. Lloyd was assisting. I was turning sausages. Tom had to do gas engineer duties because my barbecue wouldn't fire for some reason to start with, just correct, by having gas.
Correct.
But Tom got it going, and we all got to eat. I was having a bit of a panic, thinking, how the fuck am I going to fit all of this in the oven? but it was not, thankfully, not required.
No. Your boy came to the rescue.
Exactly. It was handy having a gas engineer in attendance. So yeah, it was just generally a lovely way to spend a few hours, and then we consumed loads of meat, chatted absolute cheddar afterwards, and then kind of everyone rolled home about 4-ish, I think everyone had gone by, maybe. So it was just a lovely, relaxed day. Everyone got home at a good time. I think Rob went to see Oppenheimer afterwards. It was,
yeah, we had
just great
chat about that. Yeah, it was. Lloyd really enjoyed it. Lloyd, like so many Heresy fans who have never quite jumped in, ums and ahs over several different legions. He's flip flops between Death Guard and Night Lords all the time, which makes life very difficult for him when it comes to like actually sticking to an army and getting it finished and painted and stuff. Which is quite difficult. But when he saw Ollie, he was immediately like, boys, it's just going to be World Eaters because they're the fucking best.
And yeah, then they're also so fun to play with and that's against.
Thing. That's the thing, is brilliant. That I think they're actually unique in the Heresy, and they have been since day one. I think they're actually unique in the Heresy for being fun, a different way to play. He then ended up getting talking to Ollie about Ollie's alternative Death Guard scheme, and Lloyd was just like, I can't leave my smelly boys. They're the ones. And he actually has only just taken delivery of a Typhon model.
So
as you've seen, he's got 10 Grave Wardens painted up to a pretty good tabletop standard, I would say. You know, Lloyd's been practicing that, so now he's got a Typhon ready to go. I think he's going to get some more troops up and running, and I'm hoping that he is going to come to an event with us early next year, like a greetings or an attrition or something early next year. We're going to hit up, which is going to be fantastic. Good to see Si at yours, John.
Absolutely.
Yeah, too long has he been in the shadows. So it's great to see him. Great to see him painting. Great to see him just unwind a little bit. And great to see him just relax and play a game and stuff.
That's lovely.
It was really good. Obviously, in the front room was me and Rob versus Pete and Will in a... Basically, it ended up being a bit of a doubles, didn't it, Will?
Yeah.
ZM game, which was good because you and Rob are quite experienced. Me and Pete are quite inexperienced. And it was good to play a game where you sort of tutored us through the ways of Zone Mortalis. And I was playing Rob's Blood Angels, which again was just like a privilege to play with. Because they're works of art. Even though a lot of them weren't painted by him, they are still painted by people who understand how good a painter Rob Medwell is. So they've done proud. They've done him proud, you know.
Done the Lord's work, yeah.
Yeah, but I think that even with Ollie's World Eaters there, and Sai's Dark Angels there, I'll always remain that Ollie's World Eaters are the best army in Heresy out there at the moment in the UK event scene. Although that armies are getting close to that, I'll caveat that armies are getting very close to that. Some new armies, but
it's lucky that Ollie's got a whole new project.
Yeah, it's lucky that Ollie's got his masterpiece waiting in the wings. Yeah.
Literally got it ready to go.
But yeah. Rob's Custodes, gents.
Yeah, because I haven't seen a lot of Custodes, so I kind of forgot they even existed.
Yeah,
Rob's are insane.
Yeah, they are absolutely phenomenal.
They're beautiful.
They're really beautiful. There are some parts on them that you just think, I actually don't know how you did that. Rob is a Custodes. You know, he is just a bitter, remorseless, absolute legend. With more names attached to his inside of his shirt, written and embroidered.
Rob was a custodian, but he's been relegated to the Legion of Astartes now.
He's met Big Phil.
Largest man ever seen.
I still think Rob is custodian, but I genuinely think Phil is actually Rogue or Dawn. He might be. He just looks like, when you look at the front of Heralds of the Siege. And like Siege and like Solar War, and you see artwork of Rogue Dawn. I'm like, fuck, it's Phil. I've never met him. I can't wait to stand next to him and come up to his nipples.
suck on a teat while you're there.
I would. anyway, that was a great game. We learned three things. We learned that recon shotgun marines are really annoying. We learned that Gorgons look good, but die to Custodes just like anything else.
Morlocks.
Morlocks, not Gorgons. Yeah, Morlocks look good, but die to Custodes like anything else. And we learned that if you wake up in the morning, gents, right, and you're as happy as we were as the start of this podcast, you're buzzing. You got all, you know, sun's shining. You're doing well. You're real happy. You're really happy. If you want to come down, if you're fed up of being happy and you want to really gut yourself, you want to really be down and sad and upset, rather than playing those sad songs on your Spotify, rather than like thinking of the regrets and times in your life and opportunities you missed, just go and play with Crimson Paladins, because they have exactly the same effect on you. They will make you as sad as that, because Paladins are the sad machines.
I told you what happened with them at Steve's though.
So Day of Sorrows and Lean Into Them, they can be really defensive.
Up, feel no pain. Oh my god.
Yeah, they can be really defensive, and that might be how I would go down the line for a Zone Mortalis. Because I still think, although it's not exactly a unique idea, lots of people have wanted to do this, but I like the idea of getting like Mike Fellhanded to make me a Bell Sepetus.
Now you're talking.
Then just have like, you know, a Bell Sepetus with a massive sword, and then just 20 Crimson Paladins, and then just being like, this is my Saturnine Gambit army. I only bring it to Zone Mortalis, and it's Day of Revelations, and fuck yourself.
This bit is, now you've said that, Michael listened to this, and he just built you one on his own accord.
I mean, he probably won't, because he's so balls deep into putting runic green stuff tattoos onto a contemptor.
Rightly so.
Yeah, and rightly so, because that thing is off the chain. So fantastic day of gaming at yours, Giles. Really enjoyed that. Obviously, weeks ago now, but it really did make me want Dawnbringers. And as we knew from playing that game, Will, they definitely need the chaplain in there. So I'm glad I've got the chaplain. But obviously, in the list we played, it didn't have an apothecary in there. And my list does have the apothecary, and I really think the apothecary will really help them.
Yeah, they're a proper first round of combat unit. If they charge and do well on the first round, it's over.
Yeah, they are like having cavalry in fantasy.
Yeah. My God, what a great analogy. Yeah.
You really need them to break the formation in the first charge, and then keep them charging through. Eventually, they're all going to die, but you need them to break as many lines as possible on the charge. They're that good. You know, they're really top draw. Right, guys, what was the rest of our aimless chatter today supposed to be about?
I can't remember, but I feel like we've touched on everything I wanted to.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting there. Let's have a look at the agenda. Hobby updates, games at Jars, Warhammer World Team event.
Done.
Dark mech rules. Events Boshed. Soon. We've done. Job done. I've even Boshed. Written job done. Job's a carrot, boys.
Gosh. Bedtime?
It's bedtime.
The only thing...
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, go. Well, no, go.
That's on, Will. Go.
Will, go. Send it.
It's bedtime, so...
Send it, you bitch.
I've got two sleeping whippets here that need to be walked still.
God.
You've got to walk them now.
It's all right. Yeah, whippets come with night vision stock, so they should be all right.
They get cause fear 2 in the dark against swans.
Fear 2 tool. Yeah, I was going to say to swans.
Unit type birds.
Preferred enemy.
Preferred enemy avians. Yeah, fucking hell, that's so funny. Right, boys. Great to chat to you.
Hatred flying animals.
Can't wait to, obviously chat to you on, you know, tomorrow about hobby updates and stuff, but can't wait to hopefully see you both at my goddamn wedding in 6 days. And
man, Wednesday next week.
Will, if you can't make it, don't worry about it. Don't stress your tits. Don't worry about it.
I'm there.
If you can, that'd be great. And
Will. Giles, you'll be there as well, won't you?
Oh, fuck yeah, mate.
Fuck yeah, mate. Ollie's coming. Lloyd will be there, you know.
Oh,
that'd be great.
Yep. And if you've not met Laura yet, she'll be there.
I'm sure we've met Laura. We must have. Yeah, no, yeah, I have.
I think we met certainly in Spoons once upon a time.
Oh, yeah, that was when we first started.
That was a long, long time ago.
When Laura's sister sat down next to Rob and said, he's really good looking, I wonder if he's nice. And Rob said, so I hear you've got children, I'm wondering your thoughts on the education system. And Emily was like, the fuck is this guy?
I'm out.
I'm out. Right, boys, farewell.
Have a champagne.